Welcome back to Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Trivia, Puzzles, and Word Games. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and joining me is chess grandmaster, Maurice Ashley. Maurice, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you very much, Ophira.
I have to ask you right off the top, how do you become a grandmaster? I mean, more than the obvious practice, practice, practice.
You have to play in internationally ranked tournaments with internationally ranked players, grandmasters, international masters, and you got to beat a few of them, or most of them. And then the International Chess Federation takes your result and analyzes it for inconsistencies or otherwise, and then they decide you deserve the title of international grandmaster.
And how many games are we talking here through this process?
Officially, it's only 9 games per tournament, and okay. You have to do it in 3 tournaments, so it's 27 games. But usually it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 years for people to pull it off. At least people like myself were a little bit slow.
Oh, that's slow?
Yeah.
It would take me 200, just so you know, for the record.
Well, they're child prodigies now. They're like 12 years old and they're grandmasters and they make us look like idiots. So.
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah. You know, it's the worst thing in the world to be sitting across a 12-year-old getting your butt handed to you, I can tell you.
We teased that thing earlier about famous openings. There was the
King's Indian.
Yeah.
And the Fegatello attack.
Do you use those? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I don't use any of the ones you mentioned, actually.
Yeah, too low class for you, I understand.
You know, fried liver attack. Who's going to use that?
Yeah, come on now.
I'm from Brooklyn. We don't do that stuff.
How many grandmasters are there, roughly, out there?
Now there are about 1,500 worldwide.
Nice. And are you guys all friends and hang out?
Not at all. I don't like those guys.
Really?
No, you know, there are some that are your friends, but you can't get too close because you're going to give away trade secrets.
It's extraordinarily competitive.
It's cutthroat.
It's cutthroat?
Yeah, it's bloodlust. It's bad.
So it's super aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems silent, calm, patient.
I got to take you to the Hustlers in Brooklyn at Fulton Street. You won't see silent and calm. You'll get soul music, trash talking. They'll be talking about your mother, your sister. My sister's here, actually, and they used to tell me, you know, we're kicking your ass. Could we meet your sister?
You mentioned your sister. Are you from a competitive family?
Very competitive family.
Oh, really?
I'm probably the least accomplished person in my family.
Wait a second. An international grandmaster is
the
least?
Yeah. It's really pathetic. My brother is a 3-time world champion kickboxer, and my sister is a 4-time world champion boxer. I know. So I'm not a world champion, so I've underachieved officially in my family.
So that's very interesting that they are very sports-minded and you are very brainy.
I'm athletic.
I'm not saying you're not athletic, Maurice. When did you first start playing chess? Do you remember your very first game?
The critical game was a game I played in Brooklyn Tech High School against a friend of mine, Clotaire Colas. We called him Tico. And Tico ripped me apart. And then I went home, I went to a library, got a book, studied it, came back, and played Tico, and got crushed again. And it turns out he had read that book and 9 other books. And that started a love affair right there.
And this was when you were living in Brooklyn, because you're originally from Jamaica.
Originally from Jamaica, yeah. This is in Brownsville, Brooklyn.
But you did not play any chess in Jamaica and Kingston growing up?
We played a little chess in Jamaica. We played it with a lot of other board games. In Jamaica, there was not much to do back in the late 70s when I was a little kid, and so we played games all the time. And I remember my mother lived in this country while we were in Jamaica, and I remember her sending down a softball and a glove because she knew we'd play with stuff.
Yeah,
but it was Jamaica. Nobody played softball in Jamaica, so we threw the glove away and used the softball as a soccer ball and kicked it around.
So like, we played, good enough.
Yeah, we were creative. We just played all sorts of games back then, and chess was one of them, but we didn't play too much. It wasn't until I came here that I got really serious and played a lot.
And so obviously you've learned all these great things, in not only chess, but how to think properly and be patient. Are you an aggressive player, or are you
aggressive? It's not a secret. I'm just aggressive. That's it. I try to kill. That's like the first thing, first instinct. Although I had to sort of hold that back when I was playing against top grandmasters, because they see all that stuff coming, and then it just doesn't work, and then they beat you up.
Oh, so you have to change your strategy depending on who you're playing against.
You just have to get them a little bit slower than throwing all your pieces at them. It doesn't depend on who you're playing against. If they screw up, you go kill them immediately. But usually they don't, so you have to like...
I feel like I'm talking to a spy half the time, and then I realize we're talking about chess.
Well, you know, we have like, we have databases. We, computers have changed everything, right? So you can get these databases with millions of games, literally 5 million games. If you look, you do a search on Maurice Ashley and hundreds of my games will pop up, and you can study my games, the openings, middle games, what kind of positions I like, you know, what I eat for breakfast. Well, that's not in there, but you know, all kinds of stuff. And we do that on each other. And we analyze everything about the other person, and you feel like you know the inner workings of their soul.
Right.
And so when you're in a position, you're like, he's gonna hate when I play this move.
Ha ha.
Yeah, you know, so, and we're always trying to outwit each other. So it's pretty deep stuff.
Well, we've done a lot of work on, you know, we have done that same thing. We've gone on the computer and like figured out everything about your head. And with that, we have put together a very intense, high-risk game on Ask Me Another for you. Mm. So I'm going to ask you, Maurice, would you like to take an Ask Me Another challenge?
Bring it.
All right. Maurice Ashley, everybody. Let's welcome Julian Villard to the stage. Hello, Julian.
Hello, Fira. I like this guy.
Maurice?
Yeah, I want to take him.
No, he's cool. He's cool.
Let's take him down.
He's a killer.
I like you too, man.
All right. Leave for after. Let's listen.
Now, Maurice, chess players are often seen as these incredible geniuses with the processing power of a computer and the creativity of an artist. But they're only human, right? Many stories of the greatest chess players in history revolve around their more human quirks. So in this game, we're going to explore the lighter side of chess history. Today, you're going to be playing for Christopher Vihan from Phoenix, Arizona. So here's how it works. If you get 3 questions right, you and Christopher win a prize.
Cool.
All right. Let's see how you do.
How many questions do I get?
19.
19?
No,
good.
No.
Whew, I needed that. Good.
3.
What kind of game?
Let's see what goes on here.
All right.
Emmanuel Lasker, do you know him?
We've played once or twice.
Okay, so he's not only a chess champion, but a world-class bridge player and mathematician who was good friends with Albert Einstein. But he wasn't an Einstein at everything. At one point, he became interested in breeding championship pigeons for the Berlin Poultry Show. After months of failing to get his pigeons to mate, he realized his fairly obvious mistake. What happened, Maurice?
He was breeding roosters?
I think that's a good idea that he didn't even know they were pigeons.
Emmanuel, by the way, I didn't play him once
No,
or twice.
I know, obviously, if he was friends with Einstein.
Dead for over 60 years.
Yeah, he bought a bunch of... He was sure they were pigeons, and he bought all these pigeons. He clearly didn't check one important thing, and then he put them all together, and he was like, they're going to breed, and something happened.
Well, like I said, the roosters thing, they were probably the same gender.
You are correct. They were all male. Exactly. I see what you're doing there. That was very smart. Written in the 1980s during the height of the Cold War, the musical Chess features a bad boy American, a defecting Russian, a love triangle, and spies. Same plot as White Knights, by the way. In the musical's most famous song, the main character extols the seedy virtues of the Asian city hosting the World Chess Championship. Julian, let's have a little of that song.
Something, something, and the world's your oyster. The bars are temples, but the pearls ain't free. You'll find a god in every golden cloister. And if you're lucky, then the god's a she. I can feel an angel sliding up to me.
I should know the song.
Maurice, do you know the song?
I know the song, except I don't know the city.
Okay.
But I want to say, no, I want to say Bangkok?
Yes! You want to say right, One Night in Bangkok. The best song from that musical.
Yeah, you know, no chess player went to see that musical.
What do you mean, no chess players went to see the musical Chess? It was a hit. One of the greatest champions of the 1920s and 30s, this grandmaster was born in Riga, then part of the Russian Empire. He was known for his many eccentricities, including wearing bedclothes to tournaments and insisting in restaurants that he was intentionally being served portions that were smaller than everybody else's. The answer is not my dad. Who was he?
The first answer that popped in my head, but I can't believe you guys would choose this guy, but I'm just going to say it because of the first one. I have another answer. I'm trying to pick between two.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Boguyabov.
Okay.
I really meant to say...
But what was the other one you were thinking?
Nimzowitsch.
Ah, Nimzowitsch is correct. Nailed it. At a 1925 tournament, Aaron Nimzowitsch found himself losing a match to Frederick Samish. Incensed, he stood up on the table and shouted what phrase that I'm sure you have thought to yourself from time to time.
I have no idea. I resign.
You resign on that one? You know what? I'm not sure, but I would love to do this. Anyone out there?
Cheater.
Wrong. All right, cheater. I like that. There's
I'd be really upset if somebody else got the answer in order.
He said, just why must I lose to this idiot?
Yeah, I've heard that many times.
Has that ever rolled through your head at all?
It ain't just Nimzowitsch. I've heard that many times.
With the exception of why must I lose to this idiot, which I know you were just too nice to ever think. You got them all right. So
I'm going
to
practice that one, though.
So not only do you get a prize, but also Christopher Vihan, congratulations. You have won. You've both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes, your very own to have. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maurice Ashley.
You.